Well, let's get right into the ministry of the Word of God today, and let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. I want to talk to you about the purpose for taking a stand. If there's any time we ever needed to take a stand for righteousness and truth, it's the day that we live in, because many things have come against the Christian faith. Regardless of what avenue of society it is, there has always been the attack upon the true Christian faith. Amen. It just doesn't just happen here in our own country, but all across this land. Every race, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Amen. And so the enemy is out to destroy all races of people. And really, to God, there's only one race, and that's a human race. And you can be certain that the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. But God wants us to take a stand, and we can. I believe we have the example here written in the book of Daniel. And Daniel, one of the great prophets, and he would go into Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and he would stay there, and he would stay in a long time, amen. But he would be a voice of God to that heathen people of Babylon. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and some of the articles of the house of God he carried into the land of Shinar, into the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there is no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language, literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of time they might serve before the king. Now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave the names. To Daniel he gave the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, to Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. Verse 8, let's notice, focus on this verse real strong here. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor the wine with which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days, verse 15, and at the end of 10 days their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of the delicacies and of the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. In all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray that you'd open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The purpose for taking a stand. Have you ever taken a stand for things that you were the only one standing? A teacher had just given a pop quiz to his students, and the next day, and they weren't expecting the pop quiz, and the teacher got up and said, "Would all idiots please stand?" And only one person stood. And the teacher said, "Well, looked like we have only one idiot here. Why did you stand?" He said, "Well, teacher, I just hated to see you stand alone." Sometimes you have to take a stand. That's not that locked that way, but anyway. But we see Israel here was in a bad situation. They had sinned to the point of judgment, and the temple at Jerusalem had been destroyed and captives taken off to Babylon. They would be in 70 years of captivity to Babylon. Yet in that, there was a remnant of captives who were still God-fearing people. Among these were Daniel and his companions. They had been selected to serve the king of Babylon, and they were descendants of the good king Hezekiah, one of the few good kings of Judah. But now they would have to serve in a pagan society that knew nothing of the one true God, and a society that had no Christian values at all, or good values, God values at all. It's for Christ. But today, as a nation, we have adopted pagan views here in our own country on many things, and almost nothing in our United States is sacred. You say, "Well, Pastor, you're supposed to bring us good news. You just wait, I've got some." Amen. But there are many pagan things that have been encouraged. Almost nothing is sacred anymore. And it amazes me that discussion on any subject seems to be okay. And, you know, we can all say when I was a kid, you would have never said that in public. You would have never discussed that in public. You would have discussed that only with a parent or somebody that was a trusted person to share things with. But today, almost nothing is sacred. No matter how immoral, it is accepted as normal. However, God has not changed. And you and I must live for God and stand for the truth and keep the faith regardless of what society does. And the book of Jude, verse 1 or 3, it's only got one chapter. And he spoke to the people that could be speaking to us today. He said, "Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning the common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints." Because you see, there were people even in his day that had come in and taught false doctrine, taught things that were ungodly and unholy and impure. And it happened, and he said, you've got to stay with the faith. You've got to contend for the faith, because there was only one faith, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, Lord, Redeemer, and King. But today, as a true believer, you and I, we have made a decision to follow Christ, his teachings in Scripture, a decision that determines our eternal destiny. So we make a choice, and people become what they are by choices they make. Man, people can become what they are. They can blame somebody else for their drunkenness. They can blame somebody else because their marriage broke up. They can blame somebody else because this didn't work or that didn't work. But my friend, when it comes down to it, it is because of the decisions we made. And I realize that people make fault on both sides, and I realize there's two sides to every story. But friend, we need to make a decision to walk with God, serve God, live for God, no matter if anybody else does. Amen. I've got to stay with it. And Daniel made this kind of decision. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, that he would not turn to pagan views and pagan ways just because he was in a pagan country and ruled by pagan people. Okay? And so he had made a decision to continue in his faith to the one true God and not to compromise his faith and come and step down to the worship of many gods that Babylon had, not really gods at all, but gods of wood, stone, and made of things that man can make with their hands. And so he decided to make a stand. And this purpose for making a stand is amazing. You know, I see throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, God made the effort to reveal himself to every pagan people there were, and to, as to the one true God, man. And God fought hard to show Pharaoh, king of Egypt, you know, that there's only really one God, because all the plagues of Egypt were against, each one was against a God that they served in Egypt, and none of them worked. Amen. They endured flies and frogs and lice and ticks and whatever else kind of plagues there were. I'm not sure ticks was in there, and it didn't matter. Those were bad enough. But anyway, it was an effort of God to show that there was really one true God, and God had proved this heathen king, Nebuchadnezzar, that there was really only one God. He was hard-headed. It took him a long time to learn, but anyway. And so here's Daniel and his friends here. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that their names were changed to honor the gods of Babylon. And they would be picked from the most intelligent, best-looking captives, and they would serve in the king's palace. Here they were. They were taught one true God. They were taught the Ten Commandments. They didn't obey them, but they taught the Ten Commandments. Yet when they got to Babylon, there was nothing even similar to the Ten Commandments in Babylonian rule. And there was nothing close to the worship of one true God there. It was a pagan place. And so here the king of Babylon says, I'm going to change all of your names. I'm going to cause you to submit to society. I'm going to give you a new identity here. And so they proceeded to change their identity. Their names would be changed to honor the pagan gods of Babylon. Amen. And this training would require them to abandon the teachings of their upbringing. And basically they would be taught to ignore the Ten Commandments and be ruled by sinful pagan laws. You say, well, what does this have to do with us today? Let me tell you something. There are people in our society today of another religion that believe if you submit and are converted to Christianity, you deserve the death penalty. That's Islamic law. And those people are living among us today, trying very desperately to turn our nation into an Islamic state. But they're still remnant of Bible-believing Christians today that still live here in the United States. And that includes you and I. Amen. And today, society desires the believer to abandon Christian values, biblical teachings, and moral values, and to adapt a way of living that is against God. But my friend, we are the remnant of people that believe that this is the inspired, infallible word of God. We are the people who believe it's still wrong to steal, kill, and commit adultery and to covet. We still believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We still believe that the values of the Bible that God taught, and God has done what he could do to bring revelation to every generation, that he is true, that he's real, that he's still on the throne of glory. My friend, we must stay with what is true and what is real. If we compromise a little bit, amen, that we can't compromise. Let's stay with the truth of God. God's word doesn't change. Amen. And I'm so glad that God doesn't change and expand to accept society's view. Okay? As a matter of fact, God, you know, all sacrifices in the Old Testament were fulfilled in Christ. All the blood sacrifice and stuff that was fulfilled in Christ. They were just types until Jesus came along. He became the perfect Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. The last offering to be offered as atonement for sin, because his sinless, perfect blood would atone for the sins of whosoever will. Man. But the Bible tells us that we need to sacrifice too. Not bodily sacrifice and not lose our lives in that sense. But the Bible says, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and a perfect and acceptable will of God. So God intends for us to take a stand in our day, even as Daniel did. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself before this heathen nation. But let's look at it. True faith, second of all, requires opposition to evil. If you live for God, you're going to live in opposition to sin. Amen. You say, well, I'm saved, and I don't have to oppose it. Yeah, if you're really saved, you will live in opposition to evil. And so here we see that God began to honor Daniel's commitment, and he gave him favor. Verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat delicacies or with the wine which he drank. Now, verse 9, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. God knows what to do. And so this chief of the eunuchs here, he was over the young men, and God gave Daniel and his companions, his friends here, favor in this guy, with this guy. God knows what to do. And you see, let's look at favor for just a minute. You see, we're all a product of favor, because that's what grace is. It's unearned, unmerited favor. You know, we're saved because God showed us favor, not because we were good enough to be saved, not because we're a little better than everybody else. We're not better than anybody else. We're just people that God opened his heart to, his mind to, and mankind is the object of God's favor. And God gave salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And but Daniel would make a stand and that would speak, and that stand that he made speaks today. And the stand that Daniel made, is it would say he had not abandoned God's law. Daniel's stand would say he wouldn't partake of that which was forbidden, food in this case. In verse 8, he didn't like the idea of eating only what the, I don't know what the food was, but he wasn't going to drink the king's wine. And so, if you're wondering, dieting always involves compromise, doesn't it? I hate diets because you can never eat anything that's good. If I took a vote right now, I'd get voted in 100%. Amen. But we do that. But in this case, it was a food that was unholy or ungodly to eat. And they were from Jewish country, and they didn't eat swine or anything like that. They couldn't eat catfish. Only fish with scales could they eat, if that bothers you. And so the dieting wasn't right. It broke the law of their God, and there were many even dietary laws in the Old Testament. But here the king's food and drink would violate what God had ordered in his word and the Ten Commandments and the expansion of those Ten Commandments. And in that society, a prisoner had no rights. You just did what you were told, or you'd probably have your head chopped off if you didn't. And that's probably not an exaggerated statement. To reject the king's food could mean starvation, punishment, or death. Yet faith must take a stand against evil. Faith in Christ must say, I don't care what you're offering society. I don't care what you say I've got to do or how I've got to live. I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to compromise my faith in God. I'm not going to start doing things that God has forbidden in his word. I'm not going to start accepting ways of life that people may make that violate God's laws. I'm going to stand for the truth of God's word. We must make a stand. Hallelujah. And compromise in a seemingly small matter would just open the door to compromise in all matters, especially spiritual matters. If Daniel and his companions partook of what they knew was wrong, it wouldn't be long that they'd be challenged to go a little bit further and partake a little more of a little other things. And after a while, they would be identified with pagan society and their identity would change, but yet they wouldn't compromise. Thank God. Daniel took a stand. Because, you know, it's an old saying, but it's true. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you far more than you want to pay. Amen. And but today, compromise with pagan behavior is pushed through education, critical race theory, alternate lifestyles. Let's put it right, pagan lifestyles is encouraged in our country where it's just become accepted. Man. But to compromise a little leads to compromising a whole lot. You know, let's compare it to this. If you got a small leak in one of your tires on your vehicle and nothing is done about it, it leaks finally enough till you've got a flat tire. And I know that didn't require a great deal of wisdom to come up with that. It just happens. But a lot of times if we compromise our faith a little bit, then our faith begins to leak. And after a while, we're really not in the faith or following the faith of Christ at all. So we need to be careful. We must pray earnestly for everyone, for one another. That's the reason the church needs to pray for one another. Amen. Prayer is not just something we do here. We do that here, thank God. Amen. Pray for one another. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandkids. Pray for them. God will protect them. I believe God can put a covering of protection up over us and over our children. I don't think God has left the family out. I think God is a God that put the family in charge in the first place. And God can help us, amen, raise a generation of people that are God-fearing. There may be pagan ways around us, but I just know that greater is He who is in us than He is in the world. We're going to win. We're going to overcome. We're going to be victorious in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we must pray earnestly. And school teachers, we're praying for you. Praise God. Amen. What a great responsibility God has placed upon you. Amen. Upon us all. But yet God will give us the grace and the strength to go forward. Amen. I heard an example here a while back. It's pretty old now, but it was new then. I guess everything was new before it was old. Wasn't that brilliant? But a business that did weddings for people, and they were a business, and they made cakes for weddings, but they refused to do business with those planning a gay marriage. And they were sued for this, but they took a stand, and they would not compromise their faith, even if it meant their business wouldn't be anymore. But you see, there's people that will take a stand. And we must, like Daniel, purpose in our heart that we're going to live for God. No matter what, we must take a stand. In opposition to God, it's evident today, true believer must determine, like Daniel, not to compromise with sinful behavior. You see, the Bible is never irrelevant. It doesn't become irrelevant over time. Some people have foolishly taught that and tried to rewrite the Bible into so it'll fit their way of thinking. Let me tell you something. When you're messing with the infallible, inspired Word of God, you're foolish to do that. This is God speaking. It's spoken to every generation, and it's the truth that will set us free and keep us free. Amen. And so we may be put under pressure today to do that, but don't compromise with him. There's going to be opposition to God wherever you live and wherever you're at in this world, there's going to be opposition. We've got to learn to stand against it. Amen. The Bible still says, 1 John 2:15, do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Praise God. You can't be sort of saved. Amen. You're either born bored or you're living for God. You're on your way to heaven or you're not. Praise God. No in between. And so God deals with the sinful heart of mankind. And the heart is a seat of the mind, the will, and the emotions. We're not talking about the physical heart, but I'm talking about the spiritual part of us. And Jeremiah 17:9 says the sinful heart, he says, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Because you see, if mankind is left to himself to make a set of rules that will be good for society, that will correct society and solve all of life's problems, it'll never happen. God put a set of laws there, the Ten Commandments. They're the most simple way that if a society would follow it, it would be the thing that could rule a society and keep people the way they ought to be, all of us included. But the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Without man, without God, is desperately wicked. He's not just wicked, but desperately wicked. Who can know it? But in that day, to reject the king's command would mean certain death. Verse 10 here, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who's appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse and than the younger men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. In other words, if I'm caught not doing what the king said, he's going to chop my head off. That's probably not an exaggerated statement. It does happen, still happens today in some countries. You endanger my head before the king. And for Daniel to come before the chief of the eunuchs and say, we want to eat this way and we want to drink this way, I don't care what the king says. And the guy says, you got to care what the king says. And I'm taking a chance by even thinking about what you want to do. But true faith here was put to a test. And so Daniel said, okay, why don't you just test your servants 10 days? Let us eat vegetables and drink water. And then you examine us, and then whatever you decide to do, that's fine. And so they did this. Because you see, true faith many times will be put to a test. And you have faith, and your faith will be put to a test many times. You'll be tempted to compromise this, that, here, or the other. Amen. But let me tell you something. You don't need to compromise. You need to go with what God said. You need to keep on staying with God, staying right with God, living right, serving God. Amen. You need to walk with Him. You know, you need to just not cuss because everybody else cusses a little. Amen. You don't drink a little bit because everybody else drinks a lot. Amen. You put your heart in your hand, in the heart of your hand, in the hand of God, and you walk with Him no matter what. You don't compromise. Praise the Lord. And so God gave them what was necessary to eventually promote the one true God to a pagan society. Yes, their names were changed and they were called by those names, but they didn't see themselves by those names. And God can provide what you need to take a stand against the evils of our day. You see, God, in the New Testament, God has given us power for that. And Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me to all the earth. And you say, well, God puts His Holy Spirit in so we can look at somebody and say, hey, buddy, you need Jesus. Yes, He does. But the power of the Holy Spirit is not just to tell somebody they need Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit is to stand against the evils of our day. Amen. That early church would face tremendous persecution. And they must stand and keep on living for God regardless of what they were threatened with. And that's what you and I must do. Regardless of what people say or what people think, we're going to keep on living for God no matter what. And see, we find that God would use Daniel. Amen. He'd use all of these people. These four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill and all literature and wisdom. I mean, they went through church. They went through, you know, national history in Babylon. And they were educated in Babylonian ways and Babylonian thinking, and they were history majors. And so they would learn all the literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. That's something Babylon couldn't teach him. It was common in that day for them to think every dream was from God, and they acted on many of their dreams. How many of you have ever had a dream you knew wasn't from God? I can tell you most of them I had wasn't for God. If I were to tell you every dream I'd ever had, hey man, you could just say, well, he's just like me. Amen. Most of us from eating pizza too late or something, I don't know what that causes it. But taking a stand, these people believed in dreams and visions, and God would use Daniel in dreams and visions. He would use him in interpreting dreams. We'll find that out tonight if you come back. And God would give gifts even during their captivity, and Daniel would be called upon to interpret dreams, to stand against idolatry, to stand against the worship of other gods. Daniel would never forget the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image. He would put nothing before God. He wouldn't bow to anything. He wouldn't bow to any pagan way. He took a stand and the purpose for taking a stand is the revelation of one true God. Amen. You and I must be a people who are willing to take a stand. When our faith is challenged, and it will be challenged, let's take a stand for what is right. Amen.